Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to talk to you today about being pregnant, and I know what you think is, what do guys know about being pregnant? And we know a little bit, not a lot. But I want to talk about being spiritually pregnant. You know, also Pastor Paul, one of our campus pastors here, his wife Rachel had the baby this week. Come on, somebody. It happened quick, too. They were like, man, she couldn't even get an epidural. Let's talk about that for a second. You know a woman is a bad motor scooter when you don't get an epidural. So here's what I do know. When you go to Walgreens and you get that pregnancy test, that's the first day you start getting an epidural, okay? And then you keep taking epidurals until they're at least 19 or 20. When they move out of the house, that's when you get rid of the epidural. Come on, give it up for women, because without them, we would not be here today. That's all you got? Come on, give it up for mama. Mama, you know I love you. So oftentimes you don't look pregnant, but you know you are. Talking about that business, talking about that dream, talking about that next level. Here's a picture of Nicole when she was pregnant with Ashton. She's about a month pregnant, and she said she is pregnant. As you can see there, no, that's the wrong one. The other one, that obviously she's pregnant. The first one, we'll go back, please. There's one where she doesn't look pregnant. If we can go back to that one. Thank you. She's telling me there she is pregnant. I'm like, you don't look pregnant. You can tell from that shirt kind of up high, that's how she got pregnant. Okay, come on, somebody. You saw the next shot you saw there. How many of y'all know she wasn't lying? Give it up for Nicole. That's Ashton inside the belly. Okay. Now, once we did find out that she was pregnant, and then a few months passed, they did this thing to where they put jelly on the belly, and they started running this cold little thing. Any women know what I'm talking about? She goes, oh, it's cold. But what were they doing right there? They were doing an ultrasound. And so what was in there was Ashton. We didn't know that she could sing like that. We didn't know that she'd have angel wings on her. If you were at the women's conference, you know what I'm talking about. We didn't know how cool she was. We just knew she was moving and grooving in there. And there's this umbilical cord that was moving in there too. She was on like this lifeline from her mom. She was eating what mom was eating. She was hearing what mom was hearing. There was a development stage that was happening, and we knew that it was either a boy or a girl. How many of y'all know that's probably what it's going to be? Okay. But I want to do almost like a spiritual ultrasound on you today and say, hang on a minute. What are you pregnant with that you need to give birth to? What's in your belly? I've been pregnant a lot of times with ministries, with resource, television ministry, this church, everything. There's a seed that hits your heart, and it's just as supernatural as when the Holy Spirit overshadowed precious Mary, and she conceived Jesus. Of course, Jesus always was, always will be, but he needed an earth suit. He needed a body. So he comes down, and he chooses to come through this woman. And now he walks around for 33 years and does what he does. But that conception is happening, and has happened to a lot of you guys. You got pregnant with something. You did the ultrasound. You told your family, going to start the business, going to the next level. And they're like, you don't look pregnant. You can't do that. And you're going, now, if the umbilical cord and your prenatal vitamins are right, you say, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. Oh, yeah, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I know that what God is doing in me is greater than what the devil's going to do to me, and I choose not to hear that. I choose to believe the word of God. Like Mary said, she said, be it unto me. Everybody shout, be it unto me.
Be it unto me. If I preach the way you responded, you'd never come hear me. Let's try that again. Say, be it unto me.
Be it unto me.
There you go, that's it. So you get enthusiastic about the dream. You start preparing for the dream. You buy baby furniture. As soon as Nicole found out she was pregnant, she went to Walmart, y'all. She went to Target. She was everywhere because she was planning on the manifestation of this child that she knew was on the inside of her. And there were times when Ashton moved like crazy. I've told the story before where we were in Mexico for like a week and the baby didn't move and she was freaking out because the enemy and the enemy are saying, you had a miscarriage before. The baby died. What's going to happen? You can't base what God's getting ready to do on what happened last time, because it's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new... Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Just because it didn't work out with this woman doesn't mean it ain't going to work out with this one. Some of you girls, you're believing God for Boaz and you keep getting Bozo. This is your banner year. Somebody ought to go with me on this, but you got to get positive about it. Sorry about spitting on you so bad, but it's good. Trying to tell what's happening. I keep it juicy up in here. I love this thing. I'm kidding everybody. Everybody. Okay. I really am sorry. It's too late to say I'm sorry. So, now that she's been baptized, anybody else need Christendom here? Be blessed, my brother. And when I really embellished, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. Her glasses are like, doop, 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 doop. Shout out, I'm pregnant. Now, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says, God, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed you, I knew thee. God knew me before the foundation of the world. And he set an individual path and a course for you. And so what's happening now is on the inside of me, and you can transpose this over into your own life, there was something different in me than in you. And you're called to birth something different than I am. Your kid looks different than my kid. Your dream looks different than my dream. But God has a unique plan for every one of us to fulfill this thing that he has for us. And for me as a child, my dad was going to build me a clubhouse, and he showed me a picture. It was going to be awesome. It was really neat. It had like a little deck all the way around it, and had a little window so we could like shoot BB guns out the side. And he told me all about it, but he never finished it. All he did was he had two befores going up the tree, and he built a platform which was almost exactly this size right here. And so that's all that ever happened. But now looking back on it, it makes sense, because I think God really had my dad not finish it, because it was a platform for me. So when all y'all were playing doctor, come on somebody, I was up playing church. I was there and I loved to pretend I was having church. And my cousin Tammy was a month younger than me, and I had her as my worship leader. And I would say, I need you to sing and then I'm going to preach. So she'd get up and she's like, Amazing Grace. I'm like, no, we got a black church. It's Amazing Grace. How sweet. So she'd try it, and then I would preach. And then my little brother, he was our parishioner. So I'd bring him up. He's 4 years younger than me. And I would always make him wear a jacket because I loved miracles, signs, and wonders. So I would lay hands on him. And when I laid hands on him, his arm would grow out of the jacket. And I would be like, praise God. Look what he did. Won't he do it? And my little cousin, Amazing Grace. And then we'd receive an offering, and he never gave us jack. Come on, somebody. The guy was a top one. My point is, though, is that I was known in the beginning for that. That's what I like to do. Now, that whole dig I did on you on Playing House, that's something I did as well. I mean, I was one of those preachers in the early days. Come on, somebody. I went off, slid off, did some stupid stuff, got married for 8 years, got divorced, and then I went stupid for a while and did a lot of stupid stuff. I was working on my testimony. Can I get an amen? But that didn't change God's plan for me. In fact, when he dropped that in my heart as a child, he knew, now he's going to have this span of his life that's going to be jacked up, but I'm going to take this situation, bring Nicole into his life. She's going to have this checkered past, so he's not going to be judgmental of her. They're going to get together, meet in a weird way. He's going to meet this 7-year-old son. He's going to be a 28-year-old campus pastor someday in Florida, and I'm going to work all things together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So whatever you do right now, if you're going through a mean time, somebody ought to help me. If you're going through a bad situation, if it feels like the baby's not going to be born, you just stick with it. We checked on the inside. You are pregnant. God is going to do it. He said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. You ought to say amen to that. You ought to get excited about that. You ought to say, be it unto me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm pregnant. Uh-huh. Yeah. I knew you. Message Bible says, I knew all about you before you saw the light of day. I had holy plans for you. Holy plans? Now let me tell you something. God's got holy plans for you and 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 you. And the devil's got a plan. God's got a plan. Devil's got a big old sign over here that says, legalize abortion. Kill the baby. Kill the babel. God's got a sign over here that says, don't kill the baby. Don't kill the baby. You got to choose which side you're going to be on. That's not a dig on anybody who's had an abortion. People make mistakes. But God is pro-life. Jesus is all about giving life. And the devil's all about stealing life. So I don't want anybody to feel like, you know, I'm digging on anybody. But God said, I knew you. I had holy plans for you. Now let's talk about how to actually get pregnant. Business people, please listen to me. Genesis 30 verse 27 says, and Laban said to him, Laban's a real wicked guy. He's a crook. He says to Jacob, please stay. If I found favor in your eyes, I've learned from experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name your wages. One translation says, state your salary. Name your wages and I will give it to you. How many of y'all would like that to happen? Verse 29 says, so Jacob said to him, you know, I have served you for in your livestock, and I've been with you all these years, and little increase has come to me personally. Verse 32 says, so here's what I want you to do. Let me pass through all your flocks, removing all the speckled, spotted sheep and cows for my own. Now, what he did here was pretty amazing. He said, what I'm pregnant with, the world system, the Laban system, is trying to take advantage of me. I can't birth it. I can't buy the house on this amount of money. I can't do that. But remember, God puts his super on your natural, and then you're supernaturally blessed. In other words, God can take you further than you ever thought possible in a record amount of time through supernatural coincidences. Like this property is $37 million to build this church right now and to buy it, $37 million. We were able to buy it for $7.7 million. Now, we spent another $10 million fixing it up, but that doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that there was a whole lot of equity that came into our church. There's a whole lot of equity. The Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So the Laban system, this bad guy, that's the world system. Then you've got the word system, and that's what Jacob's doing. He said, I know he's going to do this deal because there's hardly any spotted cows. So he tells him what he wants to do. And Laban's like, okay. This is almost as dumb as when you served me 7 years for Rachel, and I tricked you and gave you Leah. Remember that story in the Bible? He served for 7 years. This is the same crook. And he served for 7 years, and he's so excited. He thinks he married this one. He wakes up in the morning, and it's not Rachel. He wakes up, and it is Leah. Her first name was Ugg. Come on, somebody. So he says, oh. So he goes to Laban. He says, what did you do? He said, oh, my bad. You didn't know that you have to serve. You got to marry the eldest one first. You got to serve another 7 years. That's exactly what the enemy will do to you. And that's why the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy these things that's on the inside of you. Because right now you're feeling like, I wasted all these years in this marriage. I wasted all these years in this business. I wasted all this. That's the enemy trying to say, just because, you know what? It happened for them because of this. But you've had all these miscarriages, and you don't have childbearing hips, and it's going to happen, and you don't know a man. Let me tell you, you don't have to have a man to have a baby, and you don't have to have money to build a church, and you don't have to have money to start a business. You need an idea, a concept to be conceived in your heart, and then you got to carry that thing through the hell and the heartache. It ain't easy being me. If you knew what it took to be me, you would feel sorry for me. You'd clap. You'd say, man, it's hell being me. But all the people's lives that are affected because of a little boy who was standing on nothing more than a platform practicing because I knew that someday God was going to use me, and today's the day. And while I'm here, I'm not promised tomorrow. So I'm going to give it everything I do. I've done preaching in our city. I came here and preached. I'm going back to our city and preach. I'm going to come here and preach. I'm going to go there and preach. I'm going to come here and preach. And then I'm going to go to a capital campaign meeting. And then I'm going to fly to Florida. And then tomorrow I'm going to preach because I'm going to give it everything that I've got, because people are dying, going to hell, and I'm going to say, don't abort this dream. Don't you give up on this thing. You are going to live again. You are going to love again. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. You tell the devil, heck no, not today. I am anointed, appointed, qualified, and fully equipped, and I'm going to give birth to this thing. I'm going to push until I get this thing here. Come on, somebody ought to give God some crazy praise for about 10 seconds. Up here. You can be seated. Thanks for your awesome participation. It shows you're interested. Conceiving a lot of times happens in the dark. I'll make love to you like you want me to. Then I'll hold you tight, baby, all through the night. Whatever your mixtape is. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all are like, now it lets me get it on. Whatever it is. Conception oftentimes happens when the mood is right and in the dark. So you might be in some dark spaces and places right now. But what is done in these moments of darkness produces something that's amazing. On that little platform, and for television, I'll put it up there. We had a women's conference this week. And my daughter, the one that she was pregnant with, is on that stage with angel wings, singing like so good that Hollywood has already made offers to her. And I tell her what I learned from my friend. Katy Perry grew up in our house a lot growing up. You know her as Katy Perry. We know her as Catherine. We'd always go up here and eat. And they were evangelists, so they kind of lived with us a lot in the wintertime. And so Katy went for the world, and we love her. And she calls Ashton and sends us pictures and stuff. And so we're still tight with her family. But I watched what happened to her, and I love her, no judgment to her. But I tell Ashton, we're not sending you down that road. God saves his best for the church. Come on, somebody. He saves the best ones for the church. Y'all ought to clap because that's the way we're doing it. That's the way it's going to roll up in here, up in here. And so my point is that what was done after a miscarriage, what was done through pain and struggle, now has a voice of an angel. And so in due time, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, you will reap if you faint not. But that's why the Bible said in Genesis 1:28, he said, be fruitful and multiply. There's really no difference between a physical pregnancy and a spiritual pregnancy. There's just a vision that is produced in your heart. Now, the way vision works for me is the same way that Jacob did it. Jacob went down every day, and when the cows were there, he would take these limbs and branches, and he would see. The sun was just right. He could see spots on the cows. And when the cows were mating, he made them see spots on the other cow. And they started producing what they see. You produce what you see. That's why it's so important to watch what you see. Because what you see is what you seize. So I closed my eyes and I saw these churches. I closed my eyes and I saw a church in West Palm Beach, Florida. I closed my eyes and I saw a chapel with an office and an auditorium in West Palm. I closed my eyes and I see multiple churches in Ferguson, Florida. Now some of those churches you do not see yet, but you can actually feel my baby now because I gave birth to those babies. But this is how you do it. You conceive it through the mind's eye, through God's supernatural help, and you keep speaking over it, saying it, spraying it, going to church, getting in an eye connect, and get around the right people. Because if you get around the wrong person and they hit you in the belly, if they abuse you, abnormally use you, your baby could be born stillborn. You could have a miscarriage. Something could happen. You got to control this baby. You got to protect this baby. That's why the Bible said, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. What is being born in you and coming out of you is really been conceptualized by God. He said, I know what I'm going to do with you. So he actually saw it. So without a vision, people perish. I always say without a vision, people go to another parish. So I say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make you feel it. I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. So everything great that happens to you first happens in you. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
So God's doing something in you and the devil's doing something to you. And that's why I want you to read this next verse. Habakkuk, come on television, watch right now. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Come on, that's my excuse for using a tablet today. See, it's this tablet. It's not going to get any funnier than this, people. This is a tablet. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision, check this out, is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak, Ashton was singing. It will not lie. Though it tarries, it surely will come. So go ahead and get the baby furniture. Go ahead and show yourself on the refrigerator of the house you're going to live in. Picture the body that you want to have. Put your head on it. In Nicole's office, if you to go up there right now, she had her graphics team. Somebody was on the Soul Sunday with Oprah, and they had their book. So Nicole actually had them Photoshop her in the seat, and Oprah is holding her book. It's not real yet, but it's real to her. And if she can see it, it'll be normal when she gets there. I think it was Nicole Kidman was on Jimmy Fallon and talking about a book. So actually, she had them take Nicole Kidman out of her, and she put Nicole there, and Nicole's sitting there with Jimmy Fallon talking about her book. Now, you may say, it'll never happen. I don't know. All I know is I've seen it so much, I'm like, why didn't I get invited to be on Jimmy Fallon? I like Oprah. Come on, give it up for having a vision, a clear vision. I'm talking to you. Get a clear vision. Go to a church that has a clear vision. Go to a church that is alive like this. You may be watching right now in Belle Glade or Royal Palm or Delray or here in St. Louis or East St. Louis, Troy, Wentzville. A church alive is worth the drive. I promise you, if you come out today, this weekend is the weekend that He's going to, if necessary, artificially inseminate you with whatever it is necessary to do what God has called you to do. And he's not checking with your past. Somebody ought to help me right now to do it. Come on. I wish Kate Spade could have heard this, God lover. I wish the guy on CNN could have heard this. There are a lot of people that are hurting, and we got a job to do. We are the church. God's got big plans for you. You know it, and I know it. But somehow, this umbilical cord has gotten wrapped around your spirit, and the devil's trying to kill your baby. And you need to say, uh-uh. Because I will tell you, you don't want to mess with my kids. I'm shaking, it's probably the way you are. I never ever thought that I would die for someone. I was always about me prior to Charon. If it's like, you get shot or I get shot, I'm going to pray for you. Do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? Because you're about to die. But these children, come on, somebody ought to say amen to this. I will kill you. I will try not to kill you, but I will do whatever I need to do. It's like, you're not that big. I'm not that big, but I got a lot of weapons. I know people. So, protect that baby. The vision is for an appointed time. Now, I want to kind of tell you about a vision. About a year and a half ago or so, God started speaking to my heart, and I became known that he wanted to have another baby. I knew that we had an answer for what they call in America now, ground zero for racial tension. It's not Birmingham, as you know, Birmingham, Alabama, because they were bombing people. And that's not ground zero anymore. It's right here where Michael Brown got shot. And I saw that the answer for the community, and really for the nation, is the church. Because here, it's not like we don't see color, because a lot of people are like, we don't see color. Well, then never ride with those people because they don't know what a red light is, a green light is. And so I see color, but I see the diversification and the beauty of the color. In fact, there's no white person in here is the same. In fact, different parts of my body isn't the same because I spray on tan because I believe that sun can hurt you. So I'm sprayed on from here to what you can see, mostly here because I don't want to waste it all down here. Plus your body has a lot of skin. It's got to breathe. So I'm just from here to here. If you look at me, you're like, I'm kind of orange here, come on somebody, kind of brown here, white here, come somebody ought to say, you talk about, you want to see colored, okay, so people are different colors, there's different diversity in everyone, so I knew that the answer was through God, the local church, saying that red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight, and God called us to go in and start, I never said this before, but to start multiple campuses in the Ferguson, Florida area, I didn't want to scare you, so we raised money, and we raised $500,000 for all the equipment to go into the high school in Florissant. Had everything set up, and then 30 days before the launch, we sent $500,000 on equipment. We knew that we could take the equipment with us, should God give us a building someday, but we were giving them a check for $100,000 to help them improve the school because they needed it. Somebody on the board got scared at the last minute, said we've had, and this is such a shame, we've had some really bad experiences with churches, and we never, ever want to deal with churches again. And we tried to convince them that Faith Church is not a normal church, that we, who has come in and give you $100,000? But anyway, all due respect to them, teachers, schools, principals, come on, give it up for those people. They do a phenomenal job. They were looking out for what they thought was best. So we just backed up. Now, here's an interesting spot. 1 year ago, about 2 weeks ago, about a year ago before that, I was told about a church that was for sale over on Highway 67, and it was huge. It was 17 acres of property, which our city's 10. And I walked around it and saw it, and it's beautiful. And I thought, man, we can't afford this. We don't have the money for this. Not going to happen. But I felt like maybe something happened. And I was pregnant, but I wasn't sure I was pregnant. And so this campus was flooded out. Like, no water got in here, but we couldn't have offices here a year ago because of the flood. So I went to Earth City, and I don't know if they have it or not. I shipped it, but I'm not sure they had it. I walked into this room in the maintenance facility because I was officing up there. And on this sticky note was this scripture, and the sticky note, it said, the vision, that's it right there. I saw it there, and I said, so that was May 3rd, 2017. I put it in my prayer log. I just walked into the IT room at Earth City. I never, ever go in here. I sit down on the desk because our offices in Sunset Hills are flooded. Today, we looked at Faith Miracle Temple. As soon as I walked into the office, there was this sticky note that says, and there it is, the vision is for the appointed time, wait for it. So I felt like, man, could that be God? So I keep a tracker, you can take it down. I keep a whole log of what God says to me because I want to make sure I do what he wants me to do. So Mother's Day, I was in Florida preaching, and I get a call from a guy who I'm not even sure is saved. And he's saying, man, your ministry blessed me so much. It helped me so much. I believe it saved my life. I heard about you through, and he told me some friends that he knew. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know those people. And he goes, I'm going to be in St. Louis today. Are you preaching today? And I said, no. And how'd you get my number? And he told me this guy, an NFL player, another dude. I said, okay, cool. Yeah. I said, well, he said, I'm going to come at the 12:30. Great. He said, I can't get it out of my heart, though, that I'm supposed to help you help people. My girlfriend was beaten and abused so bad that I actually took a spade shovel to her, this guy, and beat her and ripped her head open, and she had to learn to walk again and talk again. And I want to help you build that church because I see all the death and stuff that's happening in Ferguson, Florida. And he said, if you can raise $1 million, I will give you $1 million to help you build that church. And I said, how long would it take you to get $1 million? He said, how long do you think it takes a guy to write a check? And I said, okay, all right. So I said, here's the problem, dude. Because he said, you have to raise it because the way it all works out with his money and everything, you have to raise the money by August 31st. And if you don't raise the money, you don't get the money. Like, okay, that's great. Everybody's on vacation. It's summer. This is the worst time for this to happen. But then when I got off the phone, I could hear the Lord say, are you seriously thinking that this is the worst time? I take seasons of impossibilities and I make it possible. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. And I'm using this guy that you don't know to give the million. So we checked and verified and everything. And it's there. It's in an account ready to be released on August 31st. So here's the deal. I need somebody to write a check for $1 million. Come on, somebody ought to raise their hand. Somebody raise their hand like, if you just need a check, I'll write a check. Won't clear, but I can write you 2 checks. Make it $5 million. What do you owe on this place? But I believe if we all do something crazy, like me and Nicole sold our boat that we've had forever because we got to make this happen. It's got to happen. I called a few of my friends on the phone and asked them and said, hey, can you help? And a few people gave like $5,000, $10,000. That's great. But we're a long way away. We have to do this by August 31st. Now, I think the ushers will probably give you this brochure. Do I have one of those? Perhaps one of those brochures? I'd love to have one every time on the front row at all campuses. Also, if you could tell our city in those, that picture, you guys did a great job with that picture. I want to make sure they got up there. So the ushers are going to pass you this brochure. And basically what it is you get them through it. We're going to take a video tour. I'm going to take you there. And in this brochure, it's going to show you the property, the land. We're calling this Expand Your Heart because in this very property, the guys that own this church are great. They're great men of God. They outgrew the church. And I went in there to look at it again because I heard that it was still for sale. And some people made an offer on it, and they wouldn't sell it to them. And so I went in and looked at it, me and Chris and Dwayne. And there was a funeral happening. I said, what's going on? They said, oh, we go to church here. Our funeral home is so busy because of the deaths between 19 and 35. This girl here is 19. She died 2 days ago of a heroin overdose. He said, we have just stacks of bodies right now at the mortuary. We can't get them in quick enough, so we use this facility. And I'm like, what's going on in the Ferguson, Florissant area? And he said, oh, the drug overdose is crazy up here. It's an epidemic. And so I asked this guy, he was a millennial. I said, what do you think the answer is? And he said, I think it's the church. I grew up in church, but I don't want to go to church anymore because it goes too long. They don't start on time, and they yell at me all the time, and I can't just be me. I want to go somewhere that, and I think they want to go somewhere where there's hope, there's a future. And Dwayne's a redneck from Union. He's like, Pastor, he just described our church. He sure did. And so I went and met with these guys. Asked for an appointment. You got these two really sharp-dressed bishops. Sat down, wore a suit myself. Talked to them about what's going on in the city. We know we're not the only people that can help. They're doing a great job. We'd like to buy this building. And then he looks at me and he said, let me tell you something about you, boy. He said, I love you. He said, what you've done and the church has done for this community is unbelievable, and you're the only white pastor that would rent us your auditorium for our annual big convention yearly, and we have used our city campus for several years, and here's what we want to do. This place is worth $4 million. We want to give you $3 million worth of equity if your church will donate $1.1 million to our ministry, what we're doing around the world. We'll do this deal. And I just sit there and cried. I couldn't believe that this church, this African-American church, came with us and blessed us with $3 million worth of equity in the church that they outgrew. They said, God blessed us with this other building. We bought it through a bank repossession. God's doing a great thing. We're all one church. And I'm like, will you pray for me? And they said, no, we won't pray for you, but can you pray for us? And man, I'm sitting there and I'm going to pray. And I started praying. The anointing got hit so strong. I got goosebumps. The one bishop said, Shalabakata, haya! And then I knew we had a deal. Come on, somebody. Because God did it. So that's what you're holding in your hand. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to go on this tour with us. We're going to go up there to this campus. In every week from here on out, there's going to be an envelope, two options. One envelope's your regular tithes and offerings, and that's what it takes to make the church go. Then there's this expanding your heart, which has that building on it. And I want you to look at me just a second. I'm asking you to help God do this. I'm asking you to think about that 19-year-old girl that's laying there. And by the way, there are several of them this week that was killed. I met a lady last night here who came up crying because her husband actually just came to church and just got saved at Faith Church. But he was so messed up in the head. He only went to 1 week of growth track. And then he committed suicide. And she's crying. She's upset. Last week before that, it's an epidemic. If you're watching the news, Castlewood Park got shut down because a young man shot himself in the head. That's a woman that goes to church here that is trying to get her son to go to church here. I'm telling you that we're not going to save everybody. But there's a whole lot of people every week that say, if it hadn't been for this church, I was going to commit suicide. And whoever you are, thank you for sticking with it. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that. And thank you for building a church. So here's what I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I never do it this strong, but I'm telling you, we have very little time to do this. This is an emergency. So I'm saying, if you have the ability to give $100,000, if you have the ability to give $50,000, if you're a visitor here, I'm not apologizing. You're like, man, first time here, and they're talking about money. You're darn right we are, because if we hadn't talked about it, you wouldn't have a seat here today. We built this church through sacrificial gifts of a lot of little grandmas. Yeah. Pat Esther, right? Pat, not your last name. Your last name's what? Pat. Meyer. Pat. And the little lady next to you all the time who went to heaven the other day, what was her name? Carol. Carol came to church here. She got saved. Her alcoholic husband got saved, and her alcoholic son got saved. The alcoholic son, I forget how he died. Did he just die of natural causes, disease, some drug overdose? Alcohol. So he died, but I know he died saved. But sometimes people get bound, but they never get free. So she went on to be to heaven of a ripe old age. She always sat next to Pat. But I remember when she came up to me when I was building this building, and she said, she had the picture of her husband and her son. She's crying like a baby, and she said, I'm on a pension. I'm on a fixed income, but here's my $1,000. And I could hardly take it because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. But I'm just telling you right now, when you get to heaven, if you get there, you're going to see Carol. And you're going to see all kinds of people around Carol who she helped through building this church, and I'm asking you to do it today. And so I know it's a little heavy, but I want it to be heavy. I want you to feel it. When you're doing whatever you're doing, I want you to go, dang, I am so self-absorbed. And just enjoy it. Try to enjoy it, but I want you to picture me in your head going, are you serious right now? Because we got to do something.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it.
if you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.